Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Talking Triathlon, a podcast where we talk about triathlon. My name is Tim Ford. That man across from me, across the internet, across the ocean, whatever you want to say, is James Bale. Jimbo, mate, how you going?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad, mate. Life is good. It's finally we're getting out of the end of January. January being the worst month of the year. And
I'm sorry, what? My birthday month, mate. January,
no, I don't. I'm
birthday
not a fan
month,
of this month.
wedding
No one likes
anniversary,
January, especially when you're self-employed. The world wants all your
summer.
money in January in the UK. But
Best
yeah,
month of the
no,
year.
life is all right. Life is all right. I've been fairly busy this week, but plodding along, doing my training, and looking forward to brighter months ahead. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm better than last week. We have to apologize. I have to apologize for last week. We missed, not off to a good start for this year. I was sick as a dog last week, and I thought I got sick on the Wednesday. And I thought I'll be fine by Friday, and then Thursday night I woke up so sick, and I woke up in time for the podcast, but I had a headache and I was knackered. And I just said, and you said, "Look, we don't need to do another." I think, fuck, I don't think I could have done it. So, yeah, sorry about last week, but fighting fit. I had a revelation yesterday. I was out for dinner. Like I said, it was my 15th wedding anniversary yesterday, and we were out for a lovely dinner. And we were talking about this year, and we're going to Europe, obviously, in April for it's a weird trip. It's my mother-in-law's 60th, her partner's 70th, and your 40th. So we're doing that party on the Friday in Norway, and then we're going to the UK for your 40th on the Sunday. And I realized it's like 3 months away, or 3.5 months away. So how's your marathon prep going?
Yeah, not too bad. I got a slight hip twinge this week, which is annoying me. Kind of like that deep tendinopathy feeling that I had a couple of years ago. But I'm hoping that I've rested. I've done a bike ride instead of a run today, and I'm hoping that eases on through and just becomes a sort of a memory in a couple of days rather than amping on up. But I've got a couple of big runs to do this weekend. But yeah, marathon training is going okay. Did a lot of speed work before Christmas, and now I'm just doing long runs.
What sort of long runs? What's your long run? Like, what's the structure? Is it
I'm doing
just
a half marathon most weekends at the moment.
okay? And is it anything like specific, or is it just to distance? Like, what, you know, how does it look for you?
Oh, I'm doing some efforts in the middle.
The
And generally doing a slightly shorter run on a Saturday. So
yeah.
bulking it up at the weekend, doing like a this weekend I'm doing 9K and then the half marathon on the Sunday.
So Rhys Barclay, who coached me to my marathon, legend, really, you know, have a lot of respect for Rhys. What he would get me to do is, because I was still triathlon training at the same time, but my weekends would be a 21K run on a Friday, and that's my own thing. I run 21K every Friday. I'll do it tonight. Then on a Saturday, I would do my bike ride, which is normally about 100 kilometers. I would then either do it off the bike or about an hour later. It was usually an 11 or 12K run, which was 3K easy warm up, and then 8K at like between half marathon and marathon pace. So for me, that was normally about 3:55 pace. So I'd try to push those 8K at, you know, not flat out, but, you know, working. And then on the Sunday, it was anywhere from 25 to 35 kilometers. And it was usually, you know, 3K, 4K warm up, 10K-ish at zone two, but like, you know, top end zone two. So for me, that would be about 4:40-ish pace. And then minimum 10K, sub 4 minute pace if possible, you know, four like marathon pace slash, like I said, that similar pace. Yeah. And so I'd do this huge volume of running, and every single Sunday I'd get to that long, you know, up to 35K run thing, and I'm not going to be able to fucking do this. Like, I'm absolutely exhausted. And I would nail it every single time. And it was so rewarding. Finishing the session, like, again, anybody who looks at a 30 something K run with the last 10K flat out or hard and thinks that's easy, like, you're lying. And so to finish
Yeah.
it, and you know, like, I used to have one time I had a friend of mine, Rob. He came out on the bike and sort of, you know, paced me a little bit. And one time Des came out on the e-scooter and paced me, and it actually became probably my favorite session of the week, because firstly, you know, there's something. Do you know much about flow state? Like, this idea of where you push yourself to a
Yeah.
point. So I felt like I would often get into that sort of flow doing that, because it was just hard enough that I really had to focus, and sort of everything else would fall away. And the feeling when you finish it of, you know, 10K, you know, hard running, doing a sub 40 minute 10K at the, you know, back end of a long run, I used to love it, mate. Like I really, really, really loved it. So, yeah, I missed. I was very happy to
Yeah.
be done with the marathon training after the marathon because I was running a lot. But yeah, I do miss that really, really sort of tough. And I guess I'm actually changing coaches. I've got a new coach starting next week, with the goal of my big race in July. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to trying some new sessions and seeing what the
I
difference is.
enjoy the I'm doing like lactate threshold work in the week. So this week, for example, I did 2K easy warm up and then 4 times 2K at threshold and then 2K warm down at the end. I enjoyed that session a lot in Bristol. I did that when I was away and I found a nice flat down the portway under the bridge, and I enjoy those sort of sessions, I think, more than I do the long runs at the moment. And I
I
am
like,
slightly worried about the hip, if I'm honest. I've got a bit of a hitch in my walk, but hopefully it'll ease.
I know that, yeah, same thing. And that's the problem with doing marathon training, right? Is you become so hyper, like aware of any niggle. And it's good because younger versions of us, I think, would get a little niggle. And probably some of our listeners, you just sort of push through it. And it's the biggest mistake to make. I know that, again, same thing, one of those Sunday runs, I got like 4K in and my calf really, it didn't go, but I could feel it wasn't quite right. And I thought, if I'm at 3K into a 30K run, I'm 10% into this run and it's already bothering me. How bad is it going to be in 25K or something? And so I remember just going, no, I'm not doing this. Pulled the pin, walked, jogged home, and meant that it was an issue for 1 week. And then I was able to go back and do it the next week rather than, making it worse. And then, because
Totally.
so many people get to the start of a marathon with some niggle or some problem or whatever. And I'm so happy to say that I started that race without a niggle, without a problem. And I think that's not very common. So I think, yeah, just be careful about it. Go get a massage or get physio, whatever you need to do. And
Who's your new coach, mate?
Billy Harris. So
Oh, yeah.
Billy is Fenella Langridge's
Manella's
partner.
other
Yeah.
half.
Yeah. So had a few
And
meetings with
coach.
Billy. Yeah. Had a few meetings with Billy. He's down in New Zealand at the moment. And yeah, just felt like it was time for a bit of a change. And I've also personally sort of been lacking a bit of motivation. I think I've fallen out of love a little bit with triathlon. I think what I've noticed is I was just going through the motions with a lot of my sessions. I was still training, but just ticking them off, really, not really. I don't know even how to, but yeah, so I just thought a bit of change of stimulus could be good. So yeah, start with Billy on Monday, which I'm looking forward to. Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it's a
Cool.
good move. Anyway, what do we do? Guys, if you want to support the podcast, head to patreon.com/talkingtriathlon where you can get bonus monthly episodes. We will probably do one next week, actually, because it's about time that we do one. There's all those bonus Christmas ones. I think there's about 20 bonus episodes at the moment. So if you go in there and sign up at the moment, you don't just get the new stuff, you also get access to all of the old stuff. This morning they were in there bashing on Koo cycles, which was fun. But that WhatsApp group's always going, always buzzing. Yeah, we've got some people who are going to be doing some T100 races together and things like that. So there's, like I said, there's just under 100 people now. So it's great. Thank you, everybody who supported it. If you want to,
I've signed up for
patreon.com/talkingtriathlon.
T100 Fresu.
You did, I saw that.
I did, yeah. I'm quite keen to go and do that race.
Where's Fraser?
Bit more swim training this time, though, I think.
Are you going to use the white tri suit again?
No,
Why
no.
not? It's you. Do you
Yeah,
have another
no, 'cause
one?
that had its day. It's had its moment, that white tri
Do you?
suit. I think I'm gonna invest in a nice slimming black tri suit. And
No.
I'll still get a logo on the back of it, but no, I think I need something that the camera will take to rather than the
It loved
white,
it.
which
It
didn't
loved
work
the
for
white
years.
tracksuit, mate. You got more
Yeah.
praise for that. I think more people cheered you on for your bravery wearing that white tracksuit than your actual race performance. Anyway, enough about the white tracksuit. Where are we starting this week, mate? Where do you want to kick off? Where are we going to start our episode this week?
Well, it's talking triathlon, but how about we talk about a bit of cycling?
Let's do it.
Georgia Taylor Brown has said that she is moving from triathlon to cycling, mate. She's coming out recently where she's joined the EF Oatley Cannondale Women's Pro Cycling Team at a 10-day cycling training camp near Girona. And there's a rumor that she's going to be, well, let more than a rumor. There's news that she's going to be heading off to cycling for a year. What do you reckon to that?
I mean, it's completely news to me. I've not heard anything about this for months. So yeah, I was completely blindsided by this announcement. Really didn't see it coming. No,
Did you
great.
not?
Of course, man, I heard about this months ago. I just
Oh, right.
couldn't
Sorry.
say.
Yeah.
She reached out to some of the sponsors, of which we are a few, and let us know. So I've known about this for a little while. Yeah, great. I mean, I think, I mean, before we talk specifically about the Georgia Taylor brand thing, I just want to add a little addendum. It wasn't just Georgia Taylor Brown who was at this EF camp. There was another female professional triathlete who went as well, and that was Maya Kiema. So there was actually two pro triathletes at this EF camp. So Maya and Georgia, but yeah, I'm not sure about Maya's plans moving forward, but I do know that yeah, Georgia's decided she wants to try to pursue cycling for a year, and it seems like
Yeah.
it's sort of a bit. I mean, there's a few things here. Firstly, it's Christian talked about it. Georgia seems to actually be trying to do it, but. It is a bit of that seems to be the theme a bit this year, right? Where we have so many of these athletes who are just going off and trying different things, right? We've got Alexi, who's going for the marathon. We've got, you know, the Vincent Lewis, no, sorry, the Hayden Wilds, the Morgan Pearsons, these people going towards T100. Like, it really just feels like that. Like, I look at all this, and then I'm sure we'll talk about it later. We saw the Abu Dhabi start list, it's in like 2 weeks, and I really was just like, wow, no one's racing. WTCS this year. Like, it really seems
No,
like.
it is. It's a there's a bit of an exodus. Oh, feels like a bit of an exodus going on, doesn't it? The sport's in an interesting place. We often discuss the interesting place that the sport is in. I think interesting is a light word to use for it. Certainly, when it comes to attracting sponsors, earning a living, putting all this energy and effort into training at the highest level and then not having a huge amount to show for it. I think people are looking in different directions to go and experience different things and see what they can get from those different options.
I think it's a theme that not just conversations we've had in our personal life, but even on this show, right? We've discussed with a lot of short course athletes that concept that the grass is greener. Like, there's a lot of these athletes, and look, this is the natural evolution of a commercial space, right? A commercial capitalist society is if your competitors are doing something or more lucrative, that's where people are naturally going to go. And what we're seeing is that these bigger stars are going to where the money is. It means that if WTC, I mean. We have that great thing. I know we're going to go back to cycling, but we have this great thing where if they want to keep athletes and stuff, and they if it's like maybe the Olympics are finally becoming not enough because, yeah, once you've done one or like you know like looking at the list like Jamie Riddle done one Olympics, he's doing an Ironman in South Africa, so that's interesting. That's often and it often tends to be a one-way trip. Not many people successfully go along and then come back. So you'd say, well, he's probably going to. He's also probably going to make more money, so he's going to go, well, I'm not going to go back to short course. You've got, you know, Morgan Pearson, Kate Woff, Hayden Wild, Jess Lemonth, all these short course athletes, Kate Woff being probably the bigger one, also going towards T100. What seems like at least at the cost of either some WTCS or maybe Super Tri Racing, I'm not sure. Yeah, it's because there's just no opportunity there. And yeah, they're going to get those new athletes constantly coming in. But if they are also trying to operate commercially, they can't constantly have an influx and check. Like they need the names and they need the athletes as much as anyone else. So yeah, maybe it'll call, you know, force them to do something about it. But let's talk about the cycling thing. We get distracted a little bit. So
Yeah,
let's talk about the
Georgia
cycling.
Taylor Brown. The only quote I've got from in here says that after Paris Olympics, she needs to try something shiny and new, she said. So it's a rare chance to be able to step off that WTCS treadmill, which pretty non-stop for her up to Tokyo and then into Paris. She won the individual silver and the mixed team gold relay in Japan, and then obviously had what she had in Paris. I can imagine it's quite tempting to go if you've got an offer to go and try something new in the cycling world. Quite tempting. It's going to be a very different kind of lifestyle. It's going to be you're going to be racing quite a lot. If you're in a women's pro tour team, you're going to be racing probably more frequently than you would as a triathlete. It's going to be a very nomadic style lifestyle. But if she obviously thinks she can do it. Her coaches and her team obviously believe she can do it. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens when she does, if she does fully make that transition and find success over there.
You're obviously the second biggest cycling fan on this podcast. We all know that I am, in fact, the biggest cycling fan in the whole world. Nobody loves it more than me. So I often tried to give you the opportunity to get to my level a little bit. Like, this is an upskilling opportunity for you, James. So looking at Georgia Taylor Brandon, and I know that what we discussed, I mean, again, I explained it to you before we recorded about why Christian couldn't probably do it as a pro team rider. But around Georgia, comparing Georgia to Christian Blumenfeld, you were, again, my words, just you basically said them on the podcast for me, about Christian probably not being at the level to make it as a pro cyclist and a pro tour team. Georgia Taylor Brown, is it the same, or do you think it's different? Do you look at her and think, no, she could actually do this? Like, as again, the second biggest cycling fan on this podcast, what are your thoughts?
I mean, cycling's all about power to weight, really.
It is.
And I see no reason why an athlete with an engine like Georgia Taylor Brown couldn't make it in the pro cycling world. The only reason that she may not be able to reach the very highest levels would probably only come from the longevity of which she's been trying. She hasn't focused her entire life to become a pro cyclist like most of the women's peloton have. So she may get there and find herself a step behind or a couple of steps behind. That doesn't mean she can't make up that those steps, but it'd be interesting finding out whether she can. But I see certainly I see no reason why she couldn't be find success there.
I hope she
The
does.
women's sport is catching up with the men's in terms of coverage, and but it's a younger sport. We want to see absolute equality in the cycling world with between the men's and the women's pelotons, but it's a younger sport. It hasn't, and so I think there's an opportunity there for her.
No, again, I love to see it. I will admit, I'm a little disappointed just because, again, and again, I'm very guilty of this, right? Like, I look at the athletes that I see doing short courses that I want to see go long and I think will do really well. And Georgia Taylor Brown is one of those athletes. Seems like everyone is one of those athletes. But to honestly, I think Georgia has that sort of that robustness that I think you need to be quite good at long course. And after what she did in Bahrain and on debut last year, I thought, fuck, this could be real good. I kind of semi before I sort of knew that she was going to go to cycling, I thought we'd see her take a T100 contract, like kind of similar to what we saw Sophie Cole got the wild card for London last year, and I thought, oh, this is interesting. So Jess got one, obviously, which I think is fantastic. But part of me is a little, I hope we don't see this, because I think the intention, from what I understand anyway, is like it's a 1 year experiment. I think though that if you sort of have
But
success in
it's an
making him.
experiment. If you find success, if you find you take to it, it's an experiment where there's going to be options for extensions there, isn't there? It's not like you're
Exactly.
going to go and experiment for a year, find you're amazing at it, and then think, oh, I'll go back to triathlon. Because, we're seeing a huge growth in women's cycling at the moment. And when I say it's a younger sport, I mean in terms of the levels of investment, the levels of coverage that the men's sport has had for so long, and the women's has been criminally underinvested in and undercovered. So, if she goes there and finds she's amazing at it and finds she's got opportunities to win big races with big amounts of exposure, and the sponsors will come, and she could be earning a good decent salary on a world tour team, then that is not something to be sniffed at.
I agree. Yes, and that's what I was. I think is that exactly. It's a year for now. I think I'm kind of in the back of my mind, I think this could be a long, permanent change, maybe. Which again, if it works for her, fantastic. It is just that element of like, damn it, I really wanted to see what she would do at
It's a
long
different
course.
lifestyle. I mean, she won't be some if she gets a contract with a pro tour team and they're paying her a salary, she won't be living. I know that she's been part of the British triathlon system, but she won't be living prize money to prize money. She'll be earning a salary each month. She'll be opportunity for bonuses at races. She will go on training camps where equipment is provided. Food and board is provided. It'll be a different kind of experience to the sort of individualistic triathlon lifestyle that pro triathletes live. Slightly less so in the WTCS, but still much more individualistic than on a cycling team.
All right, what's next? What are we talking about next? What's the
I want
next
to
thing you
stick with cycling and how pissed off I am at the moment.
want? Okay, do it.
Because in the UK, Eurosport has been carrying the cycling for years and years and years and years and years. And we've all paid about £6.99 a month to watch our cycling. And Discovery and Warner have just announced that they are fucking off Eurosport. And we've all got to pay like £30.99 a month for an entire sports package to watch the cycling.
That's
And
pounds,
I
right?
think, yeah, £30.99 a month.
So that's nearly $1,000 a year.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous when when a sport is trying to grow. I mean, cycling is very popular, but it's also not one of the biggest sports in the world or in the country. I see there are a lot of people in the UK who watch cycling and probably only cycling because they're cycling fans who don't want to buy this entire sports package every month. And yeah, it's really got under my skin. And I think it could lead to a slowing down of the growth of cycling in the UK or even going backwards a little bit.
I'm going to give a non-cycling example now, but it's something I think similar is I, my entire life up until 10 years ago, played football, soccer. Loved it. It was the first game I played as a kid. Literally played it up until I qualified for 70.3 Worlds in 2016, and my coach said, stop playing football. But I, used to love watching games and things like that. And Australia used to have a league called the NSL, National Soccer League, and it was like super corrupt. It was all a bit like you had to be a certain ethnicity to play on a certain team. And, Sydney United was Croatian and Sydney Olympic was Greek. And like there was all this stuff around the structure of this league. So they decided to start completely fresh. They shut down or they changed the NSL and they started this new league called the A League. New teams, no national associations, nothing. It was purely, a new professional football league to try to make it like a major sporting league. And it was so exciting thinking like, I'm all in on this, finally we can start again, da 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 da. And they put it straight on pay TV. So I had a season pass to watch Sydney FC play because I lived, 500 meters from the stadium. So we bought the season pass, but every single week that they weren't playing at home, we couldn't watch the games because I didn't have the sports package. Back then you couldn't even stream, it was, you had to have a box or whatever. And it ultimately fizzled out because it was very difficult to build up a fan base. And it, look, it still exists, but it's gone back to being what the NSL was before, this very minor league that, not many people really watch. There's not as much commercial interest as, some of our other bigger free-to-air sports. And when I hear this, right, and it's similar to triathlon, right? Like the fact that World Triathlon put their races behind a paywall and you get it, and you're like, what the hell? At least with cycling, it's decent. But all you're doing for a sport that's the primary for most sports, the primary income is through sponsorship. If you're doing something to limit the eyeballs on your sponsors,
Exactly that.
so what it often thinks is that there's this balance, right, where this it's the balance between broadcast rights and sponsorship, and they always try to find that sweet spot where how can we make the most money from broadcast and the most money for sponsorship, and they've clearly gone to a point where they believe either they're going to force people like you yourself who just like, oh, they just love it, they'll do it anyway. Or they think that actually we're going to make more money from broadcast now than we are going to from sponsorship. So let's do it this way too. And it sucks because it's not an equilibrium, right? One thing will dramatically impact the other. If you suddenly put, cycling behind this paywall that a lot of people go, fuck that, I'm not paying $1,000 a year to watch. Because I'm guessing it's darts and it's football, it's probably the Premier League and
Yeah, there'll be a load of other stuff on there. We've got one more year. This year will be the last year the Tour de France is on ITV, and then that's going to move over as well. So essentially, all cycling is now going to be tied behind this very expensive. I mean, £30.99 a month is objectively expensive
it's
for
very
a
expensive.
for a subscription of any kind for an entertainment package. I know most streaming services are upping their prices at the moment anyway, but you're getting into sort of what it used to be like in the 90s when you used to want to buy Sky Sports or something like that. It's a bit sickening, to be honest. And I don't think for a sport like cycling, or endurance sports in a whole, I just don't think it's sustainable. I don't think it will work.
Well, again, I think what the point I'm trying to was trying to get to is this idea that yeah, they're just it's almost like a bit of a hubris thing, and I think that yeah, a lot of people are going to drop off, and that what they're going to see is that maybe the sponsorship is less, and I think it could have an adverse. I could be completely wrong, but I don't think you're going to bring more. You're not going to bring more eyeballs to the sport because you have to pay more for it. Like, you're not going to have the people that have the subscription to watch football suddenly go, well, I'm paying for cycling, I might as well watch it. Like, no. So it's a, I don't understand it, because you what how you were explaining it to me before, and is that you in the past could purchase just cycling and not have to pay for every other
No, you
sport.
just pay $6.99 for Eurosport. Now, there is a crossover here because Eurosport is the channel in the UK that carries the T100. So you're going to be making in T100 have currently got a multi-year deal with Discovery to continue broadcasting their
So we'll
events.
go behind the paywall as well.
So I'm assuming that the T100 will also go behind that paywall unless there's some deal going on in the background, but you're making what is already a sport that, I mean, triathlon is even smaller than cycling. They had the biggest single event broadcast audience this season was Toulouse, the T100 Toulouse, with 6 million people watching the race on Eurosport alone.
Bullshit.
That's what the figures say.
Yeah.
But you're making, if I was the T100, I'd be very concerned about this. The UK is a large market for watching triathlon, and you're going to see these T100 events disappear behind a very expensive paywall.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about it, the triathlon implications of it. But I mean, the other thing that gets me is the inconsistencies. Like, you know, we'll see this with the WhatsApp group where it's race morning. And for me, right, I can pretty much put on YouTube and watch most things in Australia. Like, it's very uncommon, whether it's Ironman live, I can watch on YouTube normally. Most T100, most Super Trites on YouTube. So I just normally stream on YouTube. I have the sports subscription in Australia called Kayo. I don't pay for it. I think it's my brother pays for it. I've just got the login, which even that's becoming increasingly difficult these days. But
Yeah, it is.
what I'm realize re is or starting to, you know, again, and look, I understand. I have a very good understanding of intellectual property law. It's a big thing that I work on there. But I feel like the world itself is starting to move to a much more global economy or global system, where I think these country-specific sort of regulations and stuff are becoming a little archaic, because there's so many things to work around. There's VPNs, there is stuff like
Yeah.
YouTube and stuff like that. And
Oh, I mean, VPN the shit out of this problem.
of course, but this is what gets me, right? Is I don't understand why so many of these sports that are, you know, not, you know, Premier League football or NFL or Major League Baseball, just continue to put up barriers of entry for their fans. Like, it should be so. If you like, you know, Coca-Cola always had that saying that their ultimate goal in the world is that any person ever wants a Coke, it's always an arm's reach away. Like, that's Coca-Cola, the thing they're working towards. I don't understand why more sports aren't go, we need to make this as fucking easy as possible for people to consume.
Yeah, Warner are saying their counterpoint is that fans of other sports, football being the biggest sport they've got on there, will now have access to triathlon as part of their
Oh, they're
TNN
lucky.
package,
I
which
bet
could
they're
actually grow
excited.
the audience. Yeah, that's and they're saying it will grow the audience, and I'm saying get fucked, will it? These people that don't watch triathlon already aren't going to suddenly be watching their football and think, oh, triathlon's on, I'll watch one of those. Whilst you're denying actual fans of triathlon the ability to watch it at the price that they were watching it.
Can you imagine? You're watching, like, let's say it's, I don't know, Liverpool versus Arsenal. It's a really big match. It's like 3-all getting towards halftime. Like, it's lots of tension. It's been 2 yellow cards, you know, 6 goals in the first half. Like, it's really exciting. And then halftime comes and they've got like 15 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever it is. So, like, I'll just see what else is on. And they flick to triathlon and they're like, oh, fuck, what's this? This sounds cool. And they've got all the hype up in the lead up to the race. They're like, fuck, oh, yeah, let's watch this until the second half kicks off. And then they dive in the water and it's just
And then
like,
they get on the bike and it's pitch black
yeah. And they're just like,
because
oh,
they've turned the lights off.
this is a bit shit. I'll put it back on the football, and then the energy's up again, and everyone's carrying on.
Yeah.
Yeah, not good. Not sure that's going to necessarily
The
work.
PTO, there's no official line for the PTO at the moment. Super Try, again, another entity that's broadcast on Eurosport, have said that they're committed to continue to offer viewers of the UK and Ireland a free-to-view option as they previously via their own channels. And they're also in discussion with Warner Brothers Discovery and all other broadcast partners around 2025 plans for the Super Tri E World Triathlon Championships on April the 5th, which again is another the full Super Tri package, full T100, all going to be if on the very face of it, if all things that are on Eurosport are disappearing behind this paywall, then we'll see the Super Tri and T100 disappear behind the paywall, which is fucking criminal.
I mean, I'll be honest, I'm going to be really upset about not being able to easily watch the e-sport, whatever it's called. Supertra eSport, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, let's move on, mate. I want to talk about something, and I don't know if it's in your order, but I want to talk about it. And that is the T100 have made many announcements recently. Some not so surprising. We're going to talk a lot about T100 in the next half hour. We're going to talk about the fact they've, we just missed those last contracted athletes 2 weeks ago and recorded. They've announced more events. But there's one thing that came across our desk, most actually it came up in the WhatsApp group, what, like a week ago, that left me scratching my head a little bit. And that is the introduction of the newly branded T1.
Yes, I got an email from Anthony at the T100. Hang on, I
Okay.
don't know how to spell Anthony, it seems.
Anthony. Nope. He's deep into
No,
it.
anyway, carry on. You talk about yourselves a minute, I'll find that
So,
email.
yeah, so for people who are maybe not as familiar, that last year there was an incredible event. It was a World Cup event in Levin in France, and it was an indoor triathlon. And it's something that I'd seen, I think I'd seen, I can't remember where I saw it the year before, but I was kind of aware of it. And it was, in my opinion, the coolest event that happened last year, like in terms of, it was brilliant. They had the fireworks. It's a pool. It's a track. Like it's kind of the same
It's the
concept
sort
as
of shit that we've been talking about for a long time, isn't it? That make it a party. Give people beer and lights and lasers.
yeah. And it was awesome. And it was an indoor triathlon, I guess, kind of like super like the Arena Games, but not done on Zwift or whatever the new platform they use is. But like literally, swim in a pool, ride around a track, jump off, run around a track. And it was phenomenal. It was awesome. Yeah, there was music, there was lights, there was fireworks, the works. I thought this was so cool. Definitely one of my highlight events of last year, something I was really excited for this year. And same thing, I think it was already on the calendar as a World Cup event in Levin. And we know that it's run by the local tri community in association with the World Triathlon. Everything seems to be in place. And suddenly we find out that T100, sorry, the PTO is now a partner in not the World Triathlon Series, just this race, and they're going to brand it as a T1, is my understanding.
Yes. So I got this email from Anthony at the PTO, and he said, just a quick heads up on the press release, which we just sent out. This is a separate venture from the T100 Triathlon World Tour, and something we've referenced when we announced our 12-year partnership with World Triathlon in October 2024, i.e., create a framework to explore new opportunities and grow the sport together, including hosting shorter distance events alongside the T100 Tour. So that is their rationale for it. And, it's going to be interesting. I mean, look, like you, I'm just as excited. I was just as excited to see that event take place because it was really cool, and it was the kind of thing that I'd love to have been at, drinking beer and shouting and screaming and listening to music and watching the lights and the fireworks and all that. I think it's a good reflection of the T1 of the PTO. I keep saying T100, PTO's desire to experiment and work alongside World Triathlon and see what they can develop. And it's a bit like Georgia Taylor Brown going for a year in cycling and seeing whether it takes. Because I think what we're seeing is little feelers going out and seeing what takes and what doesn't. And if they can get involved in something and then grow it,
What are
then
they going to do
ideal.
though? This is what I guess my confusion is it's a pre-existing race. It was already awesome. It was broadcast. Like, what are they doing? Like, when we hear this, they're not going to organize the event, I'm assuming. Like, the people who organized it last year will still organize it this year. So that's like a few. I don't really understand what the actual what this means, other than it's going to be
Well,
branded as this new event.
yeah, I mean, I think seeing the success of that event last year and assuming I would assume they are assuming that it's going to have some eyes on it because it was such an exciting and unique event. I would assume that they are assuming, I've said assume
Lots
so
of
many times,
assuming.
that they are using it almost as a marketing vessel
Okay.
to get, like that, like why adverts you hate an advert, but the more you hate the advert, the more it makes you remember the product. And if you see the name T100, it might stick in your mind a bit more.
Do you want to play my favorite game we do on this podcast? Are you ready? Are you going to play with me?
Always, mate.
We're going to play Let's Speculate. I know that James Bale loves speculating. I love it. I love making you do it because I can tell how uncomfortable it makes you. I saw this, and again, first I was like, oh, I don't really understand it. But then the more I thought about it, and again, looking at like the different pieces and the, I look at the Malibu Super Try incident from what was it, 2 years ago, where the PTO back to the guy who took the Malibu race license off Super Try. So Super Try don't have the Malibu race anymore. That was backed by the PTO. And I thought, that's interesting. I assume they're going to try to do a T100 race in Malibu. Hasn't happened yet. Now we have this where the PTO are getting on board with the indoor triathlon, which to me is also a very direct competitor to what Super Try does. We've been in a bit of trouble with the PTO in the past for suggesting that maybe they were trying to take on Ironman. We called the podcast something they didn't like. Is it possible that this is Super PTO making a move to start to directly compete with what Super Try is doing?
I would say it's less that. I'd say it's less about individual entities within the sport and more about trying to find things within the sport that will gain traction and work,
Would you argue that Supertrack is gaining traction and working though?
irrespective of who that competes with.
So you don't think you don't think it in their mind at all, they're even, I just wonder if they're like, Supertrack does do a really good job and it does seem.
I as with all things in business, if something works and you're in a position to do it yourself, it's kind of irrelevant who's already doing it if you can make it work.
The
I
next
don't
thing
think it's
that.
about they're not thinking, well, we'll go and compete with Supertry.
Okay.
They're looking at the product and thinking this product works. Can we do it well somewhere else?
It would be good because one of the things I think that it would lend itself to is what I would like to see is that they really get involved with the broadcast because broadcast was good, but I think that this could be the opportunity because one of the things we know that PTO have been talking a lot about was about, up in this broadcast, making this thing. We haven't really seen it. I think that what they've probably come to realize as well is it's quite difficult with long course non-drafting racing. I'm very curious to see if they have those same ambitions and goals and apply it to a much shorter, exciting race format if we could actually see something revolutionary or different. Is it going to be much of the same? Maybe. But I don't know. Like maybe there is this possibility that this thing that they've been, had this idea cooking for so long, like actually let's apply this model, this idea, this concept to this exciting format and we could see something really good. That could be a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I just think they want to make an ecosystem and they want
So a
to
whole
roll out that.
ecosystem.
Yeah, I think so eventually. I think they want to roll out that name, that branding. I mean, I don't know, like and thinking about Anthony's email, he said it's a separate venture from the T100, so you might not see the T100 name on it, but it's got the T1 and it will have the same, I assume, the same branding schemes, color schemes and all that, and things will start embedding in people's minds. That's the way I see it, as a marketing exercise to get your product in front of more eyes.
The next
And
question,
then
then.
people go, okay, well, let's investigate the two. I had a great time at this race. It was brilliant. How about I go and
What
do one
else
of
did
the
they
longer
do?
ones?
What else did they do?
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
Well, then the next thing I want to ask you about is when the PTO started, it was an organization. It was a pro-led or owned organization, specifically geared towards long course triathlon. And we have seen their distance go below 70.3, and they've had nothing longer than that. They've never done a long course race. They're now getting involved with super short course race. Does this show, and is this another step in that movement to show that they're not really a long course triathlon organization anymore? And if you are an Ironman athlete, what's the incentives to still be, apart from the fact you get the bonuses at the end of the season, what's the incentive to be involved with this organization if it's another step away from what it sort of sounded like it was set out to be in the start?
It's an interesting question, and I do feel a bit like I'm some sort of PTO representative under the spotlight here.
You keep bragging about the emails you get from Anthony all the time, so come on.
I don't know. I think Yeah, I mean that is a question, isn't it? It's a question I'd quite like to ask them myself, is where do they see themselves? Where what place do they see themselves in the sport now? Have they moved away from that, from representing long course athletes as an athlete owned and led organization? Because you've got the Ironman Pro Series, which is, you know, if you're an Ironman athlete, then your place really is in the Pro Series. If you're one of those athletes like, I don't know, Joe Skipper when he's on really good form, for example. I don't see him racing and being as successful in the T100 series as he would be in the Ironman Pro Series. An athlete like that, or a sort of Sky Monch type athlete, you know. So yeah, it's an interesting question, one I'd like to put to them because I don't have an answer to that. I think I really do. It reeks of trying to find where you sit, where your place is, and what is successful. And that's why I think like we're just seeing them taking on this T1 race and they're doing one race and it's a bit of an experiment, I would say, to
Yeah, I
see
think so.
is this going to gain traction? Is it going to sit? Because one thing I can say about my experience racing their race, it was a from an age group perspective, it was a really, really good experience. I've raced lots of races in lots of places and lots of parts of the world for lots of different race organizers, and theirs was one of the best.
Yeah, I've only ever had good experiences at T100 events. I can't see them doing a mass participation event here. I don't think the
No, I don't
nature
think
of
so. I
it.
don't think it's not going to work.
Not a bad thing
Insurance
either, though.
wouldn't like it.
Yeah, not a bad thing either because it's sort of, again, it's a step away from that. Like, one of the things I've been a bit concerned about is that bleeding in of the mass participation element. And
Yeah.
this sort of seems like, yeah, look,
Fucking love it though, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you fucking love it? Imagine if you could
fucking.
go and do a race on a velodrome as an age grouper.
But I just think I say it sounds cool, but I also just remember doing the few super tri age group events I've done and how horrific they were.
Yeah.
Not sure that
Have
I
you ever ridden
want
on a velodrome?
never. Oh no, like an
That's sh
outdoor one, not an indoor one.
yeah, it's shit scary.
Yeah. I mean this isn't a it's not like a proper steep velo. Remember this one's
No,
more like a it's
this isn't like one of those. No,
like an
this
indoor
is
athletics track or something.
yeah.
The only other thing I was gonna say is like I love the Levin indoor triathlon. I love what the PTO is doing. So the two of them together, I can't see being a bad thing. It just, as you said,
Totally.
it just it raises some questions for me, and that's not a bad thing either because it's got us talking about it. We are going to talk more about PTO now because I think we're basically back in what do we usually do? Download the PTO. There's about to be PTO corner on this podcast for the next 15 minutes or so because Jimbo, they have announced some more races. They have announced some more contracted athletes. Let's talk about everything we know about the PTO for the rest of the year.
Yeah, man, right. So they've announced their grand final is going to be in Qatar, which is interesting because it's good that they will have a grand final this year because they didn't really last well. It wasn't where they wanted it to be last year. And let's have a look at when the dates are going to be
11th
for
of
pro
December,
racing.
I think. 11th of
So we've got
December.
Singapore in the 5th and 6th of April, San Francisco, 31st of May to the 1st of June, Vancouver, 13th of June to the 15th of June, the French Riviera, 27th to 29th, which will be Fréjus, T100 London, 9th, 10th of August, Spain to be announced, Lake Las Vegas to be announced, Dubai, 15th, 16th of November, and then the grand final in Qatar on the 11th, 13th of December. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 races, which is ever expanding series. And I'm quite excited for this series, mate. I really am.
Yeah, I am too. I still do find it a little concerned we don't have the full roster of events announced, and I do notice that it's not called T100 Ibiza anymore. It's called T100 Spain. So I'm like, oh,
Yeah.
what's that mean? Very late in the year, we got to the end of last year's 70.3 Worlds, and we felt the fatigue of a very long season. And I look at this and think, okay, we're doing it again. It's going to be another very, very long year of pro, and not even just as a spectator, but for those athletes. Not a lot of athletes are going to want to be racing still in, late December. We saw how many athletes didn't end up making it to 70.3 Worlds. That's the thing that I was surprised by is how late they're pushing this. And again, starting April is quite late too. I thought maybe bring it a little bit earlier, start in March, finish in November, especially because 70.3 Worlds is November this year, I think, as well. So even that's quite a late race. I think, Qatar's, it's great. Like, I think it's, I mean, I've seen obviously that anytime they mention anything in the Middle East, there's always a the same sort of comments get made. I think that I don't know enough about Qatar. I haven't really studied it that in depth, but I think that anything that is trying to bring attention to the area isn't necessarily a bad thing, as long as it doesn't get used to sort of ignore other challenges. But it's sport these days, right? It's not like triathlon is immune from it. It's where that a lot
No.
of the opportunities exist in sport. And I'm, as long as it's good, as long as it's not a boring race in the middle of a thing, like I don't really care. So the grand final is
I mean,
exciting. What are the
it's a striking environment. Those buildings and the contrast between the city and the desert around it, it's striking. I'm looking on their website at the moment to try and get the start list, but they've made it massive. So it's very difficult to navigate.
What do you mean, the contracted athletes?
You look at you're scrolling through and they're massive. There's just a massive picture of Taylor Nibbs' face.
I mean,
And then you
that's
have
not a
to
bad thing, mate, is it?
Scroll down her face, and then you get to Vartin van Riel. So it's not, there's no particular list anywhere. There's
I've
just
got
these
him.
massive faces.
I've got it.
Have you got it?
Yep, I've got it.
Good stuff. Well, you can be in charge of the start list then. Who we got?
When you say start list, you mean the T100 contracts for this year, right?
Start list, yeah. Well, they've got how many?
20.
16 contracted athletes and four hotshots, no?
Yep. Well, so they've announced the last few athletes, but that's what happened at the end of last week's episode. They announced those last contracted male athletes, and then the females came out after we'd recorded. But we have the full list now. So do you want me to talk about let's just talk about the whole list, and we can, some of them are known, some of them aren't known. So the women's 2025 PTO T100 athletes are Taylor Nibb, Ashley Gentle, Julie Darren, Flora Duffy, Lucy Byram, India Lee, Imogen Simmons, Paula Finlay, Lucy Charles Barclay, Carolyn Pohl, Emma Pallant Brown, Ellie Salthouse, Els Visser, Marta Sanchez, Grace Thick, Hannah Berry, Taylor Spivey, Laura Madsen, Kate Woff, Jess Lynmott. So those last four, Taylor Spivey, Laura Madsen, Kate Woff, Jess Lynmott, were the wild cards or the hot shots. And then Carolyn Pohl, Emma Pallant Brown, Ellie Salthouse, Els Visser, Marta Sanchez, and Grace Thick and Hannah Berry were those last contracted female athletes. What do you think about this roster of athletes for
I think it's
2025?
exciting. I think they're getting they're refining it, aren't they? They're getting athletes that I think are going to stick with the series throughout. There are obviously a few names where there's question marks over them whether they're going to go and race other races. At the moment, they are still allowed to go and race other races. We haven't reached that point yet where the PTO are locking people in. It'd be interesting to see, for example, whether Lucy Charles Barkley stays the course or whether she goes and races Kona. What are your thoughts on
Surely,
that?
she's definitely going to race. There's no doubt in my mind she's going to race Kona. She's got to defend, mate.
Agreed. I mean, I'm with you, but I just think the PTO are going to be wanting to keep people in this series, and whether they're going to whether we've got some dates on here, for example, that are to be announced, Spain and Las Vegas, and whether they are to be announced because they're trying to work it around the existing calendar and make sure that they don't lose out too much.
I
I
get the
think
feeling
they've
they're not going to
realized
go
that,
head to head.
they've realized that going head to head is a non-starter.
Well, they did it last year. They trotted it around, what was it, Lake Las Vegas, was like, what, a week before Kona for the men. And we didn't really see any of those guys who were going to Kona. I mean, a few, but not really. I think that the allure of those, particularly Ironman World Championships, are still too great. So I think you're right. I think we'll see them move around. I'll be honest, Lucy Charles was the one of everyone that sort of surprised me the most, and not that I don't think she'd do well. I just didn't got the impression got the I didn't get the impression she wanted to, really. I mean, I just think of last year's roller coaster ride of Lucy Charles Barclay, where it was, I'm all in on the T100, I'm not going to do Ironman, the course doesn't suit me, so I'm fully committed to the T100. And suddenly that changes. It's like, no, actually I am going to do knees. I'm going to do them both, then gets niggled, gets the injury, and then we don't see her again for the rest of the year. And this, unfortunately, has become a bit of a theme with Lucy over the last few years, to the point where it's very hard to, I guess, be certain about, as you said, like, what are we going to see from her? Because I love Lucy Charles Barclay, and I want her to go to Kona, and I want her to defend her title. I just wonder, again, are we going to see a repeat of last year where maybe trying to race the T100s at that level leads to a few niggles, which means she might miss it. I don't know. I was very surprised to see her take the contract, to be honest, just because of what happened this year. But who knows? If we make hay while the sun is shining, if she wants to do it, wonderful. I think she can be very competitive at this distance. The
Yeah.
because she was the 20th athlete announced. Those last contracted athletes that I read, Carolyn Pohl, Emma Pellant-Brown, Ellie Salthouse, Elza Visser, Marta Sanchez, Grace Stett Canterbury. What do you think about those announcements?
Yeah, I mean, I think they add excitement to it, variation and excitement.
I mean, I know you're going to be happy about Ellie Salthouse being on the list, being the number one Ellie Salthouse fan.
I am the number one Ellie Salthouse fan. I think, I mean, I'm intrigued by how she's going to go over this distance. She's never raced a full Ironman. She's very much a 70.3 athlete. She's a very good 70.3 athlete. So I think she's going to take to this quite nicely. And, she's, yeah, I think she's going to do well here, mate. I really do.
Looking at it, I do think that looking at the women in particular, those few very Ironman specific female athletes have dropped off of this. Like, there's no Laura Phillip, there's no Kat Matthews. Not that Kat Matthews seems to be able to do whatever she wants, but I would always consider Kat Matthews a bit more of an Ironman athlete. Laura Phillip, obviously the Ironman world champion, Anne Haug,
Yeah.
Ironman. Like, we're seeing a lot of those athletes sort of not, especially like I said, in the women. Lucy Charles being the exception.
Lucy Charles, you said, I mean, this is kind of what I was saying earlier, wasn't it? With the home of the pure Ironman athlete is very much that pro series now, and this is going to find its own niche and its own sort of specific type of athlete who sort of burns a little bit hotter than those Ironman athletes do.
We'll talk about the men's then. So now I've got the full male list of contracted athletes. We've got Martin Van Riel, Kyle Smith, Rico Bogan, Sam Long, Matisse Margeriere, Peter Heimrich, Youri Kuehlin, Frederik Funk, Jelle Gaines, Mikka Noot, Justus Nischlag, Gregory Barnaby, Antonio Benito Lopez, Nicholas Mann, Minho Kulhass, Jason West, Hayden Wild, Leah Bergier, Vincent Louis, Morgan Pearson. Now, as we sort of said before, those four hotshots, Hayden, Leo, Vince, and Morgan are the hotshots. And then Mikka Noot, Justus Nischlag, Gregory Barnaby, Antonio Benito Lopez, Nicholas Mann, and Minho Kulhass, and Jason West are those last contracted athletes that are, what are they? They're not automatic qualifiers, the ones that got the contracts. Jelle Gaines was the last announced athlete, but it was the worst kept secret in triathlon. What do you think about this list of athletes?
Yeah, man. Look, I think having Hayden Wild, Vince Louis on there as hot shots is going to bring a real degree of interest to this race. And I think, as with the women's, we're going to see the racing just get closer and closer and faster and faster. And I think you look like you disagree with me.
I do. I do.
No? All right.
Keep
I
talking.
think I genuinely think the level of competitiveness is gonna raise.
I look at this men's start list and I think it's absolute fire. Like, I think
Yeah, absolutely.
the men's race to me, I look at this and I don't think Martin Van Riel is going to win everything next year.
That's not disagreeing with me. So far, you're not disagreeing with me.
I think the women's one is one athlete is going to win everything. And the rest is irrelevant to be like, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful or anything. I look at this women's start list and it doesn't have the same depth to me as the men's start list. And we have one athlete who is so dominant that I don't think it would matter. And I wonder if that is the reason why. And again, wonderful athletes, but it does feel like, I feel like both in the men's and women's, those last six contracted athletes, and I said this, and again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but it was a bit like, they're just making up the numbers a little bit, to be honest, because I think that I don't look at that group of athletes and see the person winning the series, or with the exception of maybe Mikka Noot in the men and maybe Emma Pallant-Brown in the women, I don't see the rest of those athletes really fighting for the podium or to actually, like, one of the big things I've always spoken about with the PTO races is it doesn't seem like you never see the depth of the race. You see that what happens at the front and the rest, you don't, it might as well not even be, it's not broadcast. I looked at those additional contracted athletes and I thought, well, we're not going to see them. They're going to be very invisible, this T100 series. And in particular, the women's race. I just think Taylor Nibb's going to win the whole thing, which is.
Yeah, I mean, look, on the women's side, Taylor Nibb is or has been the form dominant athlete, and the expectation is that she's going to come in and that's going to continue. But it's up to the rest of that field to figure out how to beat her. And it's going to be interesting watching them try. That's kind of how I see the interest on the women's side is can anyone crack that code,
They can't.
or can they race in a certain way that might crack that code
They
almost
can't.
as a group?
They
I mean,
can't.
but that's we're looking at a generational
I could,
talent, aren't we?
yeah,
And
I could
that's
eat
the
my words.
beauty of sport sometimes, is that sometimes you just have to sit back and go, well, this athlete is in their pomp, and they are truly the best we've seen for a while. And she's having her years where she's gonna dominate.
I wish
Long
they
may that
gave.
continue.
I wish they gave
It's
my
kind of
chemo a
like,
hot shot. That's Jess Lomont. I
it's
think
kind of
it.
like 2000 to 2005 in Formula One, where Schumacher just went mental. We could
Yeah.
see that with Taylor Nib. That's where I see the interest on the women's side is the fact that we get to see an athlete of her quality perform at that level and watch the others try and decode it. On the
Yeah.
men's side, I see a fucking race, mate.
Yeah, same. That's exactly where I'm
I
at.
see a fucking race.
It's interesting to me that the two athletes you mentioned were Vincent Louis and Hayden Wild. And again, I think both of those guys are going to add a really exciting element to the 200. But the athlete I'm most excited about racing the 200 this year is Morgan Pearson. I think if Morgan Pearson, if he is, his swim has been a little inconsistent, but he is a front pack swimmer. He's a big boy who I think can put down serious watts on the TT bike. And that guy just ran what a 101 half marathon. I really think Morgan Pearson could, yeah. Again, I guess the point I'm making is I look at the men's list and I think Martin van Roo could win the whole thing. Yella Gaines could win the whole thing. Kyle Smith could maybe win the whole thing. Hayden Wild could win the whole thing. Leah Berger could win the whole thing. Vincent Louis could win the whole thing. Morgan Pearson could win the whole thing. I look at the women's. Taylor Nib could win the whole thing. That's it. That's where I'm at, I suppose.
Yeah,
There's
but we
this.
could have some really interesting racing, and that race that comes along where something happens and someone finds a way to beat her. Those are going to be the races that we remember on the women's side, I think.
I also think we talked about at the start of last year and weren't far off, right? We said, can Taylor Niv win everything this year? And she basically did that same conversation this year. Can she win everything? Because it's a Kona. I think this could be a really big year for Taylor Niv. And I'm very interested to see how she actually prioritizes things because I fully expect her to go to Kona to try to win the thing. I think she's going to be very hard to beat in Kona this year. Yeah, it's like I said, I almost make it like it's her fault. It's not. It's incredible. And you're right. What we always see is that an athlete like Taylor Nib, I mean, a Taylor Nib is a response to a Daniela Ryf, right? Just like a Christian Blumenfeld is a response to a Jan Frodeno. Just like we always talk about like what's that next thing? And you're right. There are athletes out there who are gonna have to do something to match or counter what Taylor does. And that's why I was saying like a Mai Kingma, and Kate, is an exceptionally strong cyclist too. Her run's been a little bit soft, but Taylor's is a little bit soft. Like maybe Kate could be the one that do it once she sort of, refines that distance. Jess Learmonth, we haven't seen her really reach the heights she was at before she had the baby. And I think, time has now given her a chance to get to that level. Jess is an athlete that I think could be exceptional at this distance. So there's definitely the potential there. I just, yeah, all you can do is, go on the guidebook or the form book. And at the moment, I just see Taylor Nib dominating everything she does this year. She's.
But there is beauty in domination, mate. This is sport. Sometimes you just got to sit back and take your hat off.
There is. Jimbo, I think that's us done for this week, mate. The only anything else we want to talk about before we wrap things up? We've got a couple of minutes. What else is going on?
What else is going on? Boff. Not a huge amount, mate. Try we in the triathlon world. Less than I would have hoped for when I was sifting through the news this week. But I think we've done a good job of summarizing where we're at.
Get some more
In
guests on.
terms of my hey,
We'll have to get some more guests on over the next few weeks.
I think we should. Yeah, I think we should. In terms of what's next for me, I've got to go for a run tomorrow, and then I've got to do a double run this weekend. So I'm just hoping I wake up tomorrow with a slightly less painful hip.
Fingers crossed, mate. Get a bit of ice on it. I guess I can talk about it now. Nothing's formal yet, but it is something I've been working on for the last couple of weeks. Is I'm looking to launch a new podcast in the
Yes, you are.
next few months. I think I've spoken mostly on the Patreon episode, but a little I've sort of touched on the main feed. I've had some challenges the last few months, and I've had to, as a result of that, be doing a lot of work on myself. And I think that part of that journey has inspired me to, I guess, bring people along, because I think that mental health isn't something that is spoken enough, in particular in the sports. So I'm in the process. I've started sourcing guests. I'm going to do a 8-episode season, I'm calling, of my new podcast, which will come out. I'm expecting it to come out in a few months, but it's going to be called The Endurers, where I'm just going to have, really open, honest, vulnerable conversations with some of the best endurance sports athletes in the world. To because I think for me,
So
these
I'm your
guys.
first guest, am I?
I mean, you definitely. I think that there's a lot that we can learn from, I mean, what the tag is, we all have to endure in some sort of way. And I think that, being a professional athlete, doesn't matter what sport you do, you're naturally going to be exposed to some very tough mental situations. And I'm looking to have, I'm basically, if a guest isn't willing to come on and be quite open with me, I'm not probably going to have a chat. Like, I don't want to have the superficial chats. I'm looking to actually get into the weeds and, quite selfishly try to look at things to help myself, build my resilience and things, and what lessons I can take. And hopefully, people who can listen firstly understand that it's very okay to not always be okay, and maybe they'll get some takeaways and things out of it. So I've set up an Instagram account yesterday. It's the.endurers, but I'll share more
I followed
information as
you,
that
mate.
comes. You did.
It does sound really interesting, and it sounds like something that we've seen a growth of recently, as people being a bit more vulnerable and a bit more open when they have chats. And I think it's something that our sport would be really interesting to have those conversations within the endurance world.
I think the seed for it was, I know it's a while ago now, but I still remember I interviewed Taylor Spivey a couple of years ago, and she got very open and real with me, and it really impacted me. And I thought, well, if Taylor Spivey is brave enough to do that, I'm sure there are others. So, yeah, that's what I'm. That's my little thing that I'm working on. I've confirmed exactly one guest or one and a half guests so far. I'm only going to have eight, and how I'm going to do it is each episode's going to have a theme. A starting point, I should say. I want to have a starting point to start a conversation and see where it goes. But I want each, I guess, to be geared towards what that theme is. So I'm going to take my time trying to find the right guests. And yeah, so we'll see. So keep your eyes peeled for that, guys. You can head out and check that Instagram account thing out. Jimbo, if you want to find out more about this podcast, what do you need to do?
If you want to support the show, jump on at patreon.com/talkingtriathlon. If you want to follow Tim, he's at T414 on Instagram, and I'm at bale.james85 on Instagram. We are on Instagram as at talkingtriathlon. And if you join the Patreon group, you'll get access to monthly bonus episodes and the social group, and we'll put you in the WhatsApp group, which is constantly keeping me entertained.
Head to YouTube too. People really liked that last episode, which was good on YouTube. So head there. Let us know if you think I'm wrong. Can anybody beat Taylor next year? Yeah, YouTube is a good place. Go subscribe there. We appreciate it, Jimbo, mate. A pleasure as always. I'll talk to you later.
Cheerio.